Hi, thank you so much for coming. I'm really excited to share with you today. My name is Grace Lee. That's my husband and son in the very back. They might be running around. I'm a wife, a mom, someone who's interested in medical missionary work. God gave me the opportunity to serve in China for people with leprosy. And currently, my husband and I were doing church planting for a large Chinese community in Maryland. At the present moment with Potomac Conference and Global Missions. But I just wanted to share just some experience, lessons learned, how God has changed my life, and just like really some practical examples of how we're actually all can be involved in medical missionary work. Before we start, if you wouldn't mind just praying with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your great love toward us. Lord, we pray that you would be glorified, and Lord, that we would all walk away with just some more ideas, Lord, and realize that there are opportunities you've given us every day to be a blessing and to be your hands and feet to those around us so that people can come to know you, the true physician. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On the left, that's Uncle Joe. He told me his testimony. I met him in a leprosy village in China. He said they would come about once a week or a couple times a month. Them being, a Sunday church, they would come, sing some songs, hand out little snacks, and then leave. Before that, just a little bit of background. He was 3 when his parents died, and he was young, didn't have any, couldn't remember a lot of love and affection from his family. And at 12, he got leprosy, and then he was shunned by all of society and forced to live in these villages. Now, there was treatment about 50 plus years ago. So they're not contagious, but the disease, before he got treatment, he had really been affected, his body, and his eyesight was not good, even at that time. And he had really a bad temper. He was always like upset and very depressed all the time. He said he would hear these sermons about the love of God. Love of God. He's like, what is love? Because he had never experienced that in his life. And it wasn't until missionaries came and lived right in the village, cared for people's physical needs, cared for people, like just, making friends with people, living together, that he started to understand, oh, that might be kind of what the love of God is. And it was by seeing people, other people sharing love that he understood what love is. And then he accepted Jesus. And then shortly after he accepted Jesus, he became totally blind. And so the people are like, hey, you believed in Jesus, that's when he became blind. And he's like, no, that's not. And his faith was still strong, and he praised God, and he's such a joyous person. His life changed. He loves memorizing scripture, like the songs that he would sing, just glorifying God. And that's a miracle. Another uncle, we'll call him Uncle Sun. When I first met him, he was, one of those people that always looked grouchy when you saw his, when you see their face, like just like mean all the time, and he kind of was. He had all of his limbs, and so he would go out on his motorbike and, buying things for different people in the leprosy village that he was at, and he would like to gamble and smoke and drink, and the missionaries kept on, trying to talk to him, be friends with him, but he was like, meh. And he always gave everyone a bad attitude. Until one day, years later, he ended up sick and in the hospital. Praise the Lord for an opportunity. And so that's when they went and visited him every day. And then that was the time he opened his heart up to Bible study, prayer. And then now he enjoys memorizing scripture. He doesn't want to gamble and drink anymore. He's given his heart to the Lord. I'm going to be sharing some things about my experience in China, but also here. And I also want to encourage you guys to think outside the box on things that you can do, the people you can reach right where you are for Jesus. This is very cliche. You've heard it all before by Teddy Roosevelt. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that is across the board. I mean, you've heard it a lot, but it's very true because you can whack people over the head with theology or different things, but you can't win their hearts or open their hearts until they know that you actually care about them, like as a person. You know, and the question is, are we as Christ followers, Christians, are we Christ-like? Not just in our words, but in our actions, our lives, to our families, to the people around us, to the people in our neighborhoods. Isaiah 58, you know, this whole GYC is about Isaiah 58. And, you know, Isaiah talks about the fast that God approves of. And then he says, is this not the fast I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and that you bring into your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and hide not yourself from your own flesh? And then eight, it says, then. And, you know, Isaiah 58 is full of these promises, but it's the people that are doing that. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord shall answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. Christ says, you are the light of the world, in Matthew 5, 14 and 16. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. So what is light? Those who should have been the light of the world have shed forth but feeble and sickly beams. What is light? It is piety, goodness, truth, mercy, love. It is the revealing of the truth in the character and in the life and life. The gospel is dependent on the personal piety of its believers for its aggressive power. And God has made provision through the death of his beloved Son that every soul may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. When I first went to China, I thought, oh, you know, I'm going to go and helping these people, a lot of disabilities, a lot of people with blindness, missing limbs, etc. They need a lot of help. But what I didn't realize was just the beauty and the joy that I would find. You might see some familiar faces in these. But meeting people's needs, like, I feel like these people are some of the most open people to the gospel because they're not holding on to junk. They don't have all these worldly ambitions. They don't have all these things. They don't even have family, pretty much most of them, because they were all rejected. And in there are beautiful sons and daughters of God. So when I went to China, I saw this quote, and it just kind of hit me on the head, because you see the effects of leprosy on the parts that are affected. It affects the nervous system. So on the parts that are affected, they have no feeling. It's numb. You don't know if you get burned or cut or all these things. And Sister White writes in Councils on Stewardship, page 85, the leprosy of selfishness has taken hold of the church. The Lord Jesus Christ will heal the church of this terrible disease if she will be healed. The remedy is found in the 58th chapter of Isaiah. Wow. So my realization, you know, I thought, oh yeah, I'm going to go and help people. But what God was trying to teach me was, you're the real leper. Like, I've given you all my love, but you just want to live for yourself. But I want to heal you. And I realize God's love in a deeper way. In Mark 1, 40 and 41, Jesus says, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him. And he said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. My brothers and sisters, Jesus wants to heal us spiritually, and he cares not only about physical and emotional, he wants to heal us spiritually too. And he cares about everything that we've gone through. And he wants to make us whole. So I feel that was my biggest realization. This grandma, I was kind of like her. I think we can relate to her in a little bit. She had some wounds on her legs. They had maggots. It was really bad, but she didn't want any help. But there was this putrefying odor, and her eyes weren't good, and her fingers are like this. She didn't even show her husband. She was just so embarrassed, and she would not let anybody help treat her. But finally, one day, like, you know, it took five of us, but she kind of broke down, people like kind of hugging her tightly, you know, and like saying, it's okay, you know, and she calmed down enough that we were able to clean it and her wounds. But she finally broke down and shared that she had been abandoned by her family. She had gotten leprosy a little bit later on in life, and her own daughter would not come to see her because of this. Thank you so much. Thank you. But, you know, after she was healed, and after that came out, you know, and they said, you know, just supporting her and walking her through it, you know, she was so relieved and happy. And, you know, like, people are struggling. People are struggling with a lot of emotional pain. And sometimes the only way to reach them is by helping them with, you know, something that they need. And in Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So Christ is our example. Jesus is our example. In this presentation, I'm going to be sharing like quite a bit of quotes, but I hope they'll be helpful. Christ stood at the head of humanity in the garb of humanity. So full of sympathy and love was his attitude that the poorest was not afraid to come to him. He was kind to all, especially easily approached by the most lowly. He went from house to house, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, comforting the mourners, soothing the afflicted, speaking peace to the distressed. He was willing to humble himself, to deny himself. He did not seek to distinguish himself. He was the servant of all. It was his meat to eat and drink, to be a comfort and a consolation to others, to gladden the sad and laden, heavy laden one with whom he daily came in contact. What then is the example that we are to set to the world? We are to do the same work that the great medical missionary undertook in our behalf. We are to follow the path of self-sacrifice trodden by Christ. Wow. So is medical missionary work only for medical professionals? I hope by like this fourth, you know, session, you'll understand it definitely isn't. It encompasses each and every one of us. So this is from Welfare Ministry, page 10. Attention here is called to certain terms occurring frequently in this volume, such as medical missionary work and Christian help work. It should be noted that a careful study of the Ellen G. White writings reveals that the phrase medical missionary work is employed by the author to include professional services of consecrated doctors and nurses, and that its significance also reaches far beyond these bounds to include all acts of mercy and disinterested kindness. Christian help work is also the term more commonly employed by Seventh-day Adventists in their earlier years than now, and refers to the type of work described in this volume. So, some more quotes. It's for everyone. Again, and if you don't believe me, please do a comprehensive study. I'm just going to do a few, you know, quotes here. But the sign distinguishing true and false religion, true sympathy between man and his fellow men, is to be the sign distinguishing those who love and fear God from those who are unmindful of his law. How great the sympathy that Christ expressed in coming to this world to give his life a sacrifice for a dying world. His religion led to the doing of genuine medical missionary work. The reader should bear in mind that the term medical missionary work, as often employed by Mrs. White, stretches far beyond the bounds of professional medical service to embody all acts of mercy and disinterested kindness. He was a healing power. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, he said. This is the test of the great author of truth used to distinguish between true religion and false. And then all church members, once again, our God-appointed work. I cannot too strongly urge all our church members, all who are true missionaries, all who believe the third angel's message, all who turned away their feet from the Sabbath, that's a lot of alls, to consider the message of the 58th chapter of Isaiah. The work of beneficence, like doing good, enjoined in this chapter is the work that God requires his people to do at this time. It is a work of his own appointment. So I was having this conversation with someone the other day. She's a kind of a newer Adventist, but she didn't have a religious background. But she became a church member before we even met. But we were having this thing and this conversation. She's like, yeah, in the church, everyone just talks about Sabbath, Sabbath, Sabbath. And I was like, oh, uh-oh. She never got the basics of Christianity. She never got the basics, you know, of our faith, which is Jesus, love, the roots, right? Without love, we are nothing. We cannot be saved by our works. But everyone saved will have the fruit, you know, will have the works, the fruit of love. If we are grounded in Christ, our lives will show it in these different fruits. But this lady, she had just been taught this, you know, like she had just been taught from the fruits down, kind of like, okay, now don't eat this, you know, do this on the Sabbath. But this lady, like, as we talked more and more, I realized, oh, wow, she doesn't really have, like, a connection with Jesus first. And then we're still friends, and so I'm trying to contact, you know, continue this friendship and this conversation. So in Christ's Object Lessons, 383, it says, divine truth exerts little influence upon the world when it should exert much influence through our practice. The mere profession of religion abounds, but has little weight. We may claim to be followers of Christ. We may claim to believe every truth in the Word of God, but this will do our neighbor no good unless our belief is carried into our daily life. Our profession may be as high as heaven, but it will save neither ourselves nor our fellow men unless we are Christians. A right example will do more to benefit the world than all our profession. So, Jesus, the love of Christ compels us, right? Because we believe that because of him, we don't want to live for ourselves, but for him who died and rose again. And Christ says, John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments, right? Breaking down first 4, love to God, last 6, love to our fellow man. This is Grandpa Ma. He is one of the most loving people I know. Just love, love, love everyone that he meets. He's so generous. He was baptized. But his character is something that I really appreciate. He would just give anything that he had. And he didn't have much. But you could tell from his life, his actions, he cared. He cared and he wanted to share. Amount of Blessings, page 55, it says, Jesus proceeded to show his hearers what it means to keep the commandments of God, that it is a reproduction in themselves of the character of Christ. So I'm going to kind of go through this a little bit quicker, but it says, I saw that it is in the providence of God that the widows and orphans, the blind, the deaf, the lame, and persons afflicted in a variety of ways have been placed in close Christian relationship to his church. It is to prove his people and develop their true character. Angels of God are watching to see how we treat these persons who need our sympathy, love, and disinterested benevolence. This is God's test of our character. So, God places these people in our lives. You know, there's different people around everyone in our sphere of influence, those people that God has put in our path. We say, God, why are these people here, right? and he has placed them to not only, as Mark mentioned before, doing this work not only helps others, it also develops our own character too. Grandpa Shu, when he was told that he had to amputate his legs, the first thought wasn't, oh, that's going to be awful. But his first thought was, how am I going to help this grandma who I help every day? Like, that kind of love. I really learned, like, wow, that's what Christ's love is about. And 1 John 3:18 says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Okay. Matthew 25, you guys all know. One had the love of Christ. They didn't go around saying, I'm doing this for Jesus, by the way. They didn't know. It's the love of Christ just going out. And those that they were connected with, they did what Jesus would do. Again, some people, this quote says, donations of money cannot take the place of personal service. We are all, as church members, all as Christ followers, required to do personal service in reaching to others, helping those around us. And the work of gathering the needy, the oppressed, the suffering, the destitute is the very work which every church that believes the truth for this time should long have since been doing. And in doing this work, remember, it's not just like, oh, just helping others, but it's connected to the gospel. And in doing this work, we have a favorable opportunity to set forth Christ, the crucified one. And, you know, we should feel a burden for those living around us, those we go to school with, those we come in contact with every day, and those around us who are not, you know, of our same faith, who don't show interest in religious things. I'm going to just skip through some of these. And again, when we help the poor and needy, of course, Isaiah 58 is much broader than just helping poor and needy people. But when we do help those who are poor and needy, again, Sister White has lots of different counsels. It's not just doing everything that, you know, they want or whatever. It should be done in a prayerful way, asking God for wisdom. Methods of helping the needy should be carefully and prayerfully considered. We are to seek God for wisdom, for he knows better than short-sighted mortals how to care for the creatures he has made. There are some who give indiscriminately to everyone who solicits their aid. In this they err. In trying to help the needy, we should be careful to give them the right kind of help and in the right way. So that calls for wisdom, right? And so I encourage you to ask God for wisdom for the person that he has put in your path to how can I best help this person. And use Christ's method. We all know this, but Christ used different methods for different people, and he approached people in different ways. So we also need to pray for wisdom of how to do that. And then when he won their confidence, the Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence. Then he bade them, follow me. So where can I meet people? I just want to share, as we're doing Chinese church planting, there's people all around. Have you guys ever gone to a Chinese restaurant? Just ever? Yeah? Okay. What are the people working there? Have you guys ever thought, like, in the back, like, at the cashier? They probably don't have any religion. Or maybe some sort of Buddhist background, but most people are not religious, like the people that we've met. But the friends that we have, the contacts that we have, the people that we're reaching out to, you know, we met them in restaurants. Here's a list, like your class and your program. That's just an idea. This is by no means exhaustive. Grocery stores, we've met people in Costco, Trader Joe's, Whole Foods. Like, there's just opportunities to meet people. Parks, outdoors, places of innocent recreation, kids' areas if you have kids or babysit, volunteering groups, people part of like a meetup group, similar interest group, public transportation. I'm sure you guys can think of so many other places where you just go, like the bookstore, library, post office. But these are all places that we have met people and made contacts. And then, so we are friends now. So I would just encourage you to just prayerfully ask God, like, hey, you know, how can I meet the, like make a connection, make a friendship. And of course, there are people you only see one time. But if there's an opportunity to build a friendship and a relationship, I would encourage you to do that. So just some things like, what can I do? Pray for divine appointments. Look for opportunities to share Jesus and help others. Be intentional to develop friendships with people. Find their need and meet them with the help of the Holy Spirit. Find opportunities to share Jesus with them. And the first picture is just like a random picture I got online about a dental waiting room area. It was my son's dentist appointment. I took him, and there was another family there. And we just started chit-chatting. And then we actually kind of, you know, had kind of a cooler conversation, kind of a longer conversation. And then they had to go back, and then we went back. And then I saw them again when we came out. And then I was like, oh, but we just chatted again. And then I walked out, and then when we were near the elevator, the Holy Spirit said, you should have gotten their contact information. I was like, oh, man. I was like, Lord, I'm sorry. I think I lost the opportunity. But if I see them again before we leave, I will talk to them and ask. Because the mom had asked me about like a play group or something for her son. So we went down to the parking lot. I'm like, Lord, oh, man, I think I missed that opportunity. And then I saw them come out right before we backed out our car. And then, so I drove. I'm like, hey, you know, I just want to give you my number. If we have anything going on, you know, I'll invite you. And then we were able to get contact information. You know, we invited them to one of our churches, like berry picking things outside. Later, we were able to invite them to our home. They invited us to their home. You know, this friendship is still going. They have no religious background. And the picture of the ducks, once I was taking my son on a walk around a little lake. There's like lots of stores and stuff around. And there was this mom. And we just talked. And I saw her just very briefly at this part of the lake. Then I saw her again at the other side of the lake. And so we got each other's contact information. We developed a friendship. And just a few months ago, she said, you know, you're my first real friend in America. She had only been here a few years. She's like, and then we're really close now. And she came for the first time. She had, actually, when she heard what my husband did after we kind of became friends, she's like, oh, a pastor. She didn't know what that was. So after my husband explained, you know, it's like Christianity, you know, God stuff. She's like, oh, yeah. Oh, she's like, I don't believe in religion because I'm a scientist. So she just automatically assumed, like, you're a scientist. You don't believe in God. But we developed this friendship. And I never talked about spiritual things until it kind of, you know, very naturally came up later on in our friendship. And we're so excited because we're able to share more. And she came to our church for the very first, we have a little Chinese church plant, and she came for the very first time a few weeks ago, the first time ever to come to a church in her whole life. And I said, ask God for wisdom, tact, and kindness. So in the Chinese church plant we do, yes, what is that? Yes. The people that come, they have no religious background. And when we invite them, we're not like, before you come, let me talk to you about, you know, the health message. They've never cracked the Bible before. You know, like, they don't know what Sabbath is. So you really have to know what these people, like, you know, their background, because some things just don't make sense to some people, especially people with no, like, religious background. So this dear lady, her family, we invited them to church. They came for the very first time. And they brought these lovely shrimp dumplings, a labor of lots of love, you know, many hours of toiling away, making these beautiful shrimp dumplings. Oh, you know, one sister was like, but we're like, okay, what do we do? But thankfully, we were just able to write shrimp dumplings, you know, like mushroom dumplings, and just kind of go with the flow. And, you know, because people, we don't realize that these little things we are so used to in our Adventist culture, our Adventist bubbles. They're like, what if they brought P-O-R-K, you know? Like, and we have had that before too, because these people are not Christian and they just, oh, you guys sharing food, and they just bring something. But now we have these little like clothespin systems for all things, you know, like nuts, tofu, so, you know, pork, there you go. Just in case someone does bring something that, you know, someone doesn't want to eat. But just praying for wisdom and tact and kindness, because us being rude, you know, in front of their face, like, freaking out, really might be the last time they ever walk through our doors. Or, so Sister Wright says, I have no fears of workers who are engaged in the work represented in the 50th chapter of Isaiah. This chapter is explicit and is enough to enlighten anyone who wishes to do the will of God. There is plenty of opportunity for everyone to be a blessing to humanity. The third angel's message is not to be given a second place in this work, but is to be one with it. So, the angel's message, and plus true medical missionary work, and we've talked about this again and again, but all acts, of course, God uses consecrated medical professionals. Amen? Amen. And he can use them in a beautiful and huge influence in a huge way. But the work of Isaiah 58, genuine medical missionary work, it actually involves each one of us. Every single person who is a Christ follower should be doing the work of being a blessing to others. And it just doesn't stop there. It's to connect people to Christ. So present truth, we all talk about present truth, yes, leads onward and upward, gathering the needy, the oppressed, the suffering, the destitute. Testimonies, volume 8, page 195. And Welfare Ministry, page 121, the 58th chapter of Isaiah contains present truth for the people of God. There's another story. This is my son and one of his friends. His mom, she was widowed about 1.5 years ago. She's a very young widow, and our sons are around the same age. And recently she said, you know, you guys are different. Some Sunday church people tried to help me right after I lost my husband. But when I said, they said, believe, believe, believe. When I said, I don't want to believe in God, I don't know who God is, they just left. But you guys are different. You guys are here. You guys are my friends. I want to keep coming. And so she also came for the very first time a few weeks ago to church. So like with her, one of our dear church members, a dear sister, right when her husband died, we somehow learned of it, and she was there every day, calling, texting, or just visiting her. It was a very hard time, helping her with funeral plans. She didn't really know, like, the system in the U.S. And then later on, we got connected. I helped teach ESL on Zoom. Then we just became friends, like kids hanging out together. Different things that she needed, different paperwork, you know, just very simple things. And then our friendship grew. And she's like, you guys, like, you aren't just like a friend, you're like a sister to me. So I just want to encourage you guys, there are people all around us. It might not be she was sick, you know, but she had an emotional need that people needed to meet. So just some other ideas, and again, any of these lists are not exhaustive. So this is just to get us thinking and maybe get you thinking outside the box, like, hey, what can I do where I am? You know, please. Pray, yes. Make friends who are not Seventh-day Adventists. I would challenge you to do that. Like, be inviting. Be inviting and inclusive to someone who joins your Bible study or worship or social event. There's someone, when I was involved with ACF and at UNC, and he came just one time. Someone brought him, and, you know, we just had a discussion, and say we broke up into groups, and he was in my group, and we were just having a great discussion. It wasn't until years later he told me, and he became Adventist later on, but it wasn't until years later I ran into him. He's like, you know, thank you for including me in the group discussion at Friday Night Bible Study. He's like, that's one of the reasons I kept coming back. So I didn't know that at that time, but just something small like that, being inclusive to someone that you just meet or that you run into or comes to your church. So be intentional about developing friendships. If you think you're going to meet this person again, this cashier, this waiter again, be intentional about like meeting them again. Care meals or packages for those who are sick. You know, someone's sick. We've dropped off packages for people, and they've been very, very, very happy when they were sick to get that, like with COVID or other things. And it just opens a door for a deeper friendship. Invite your new friends to your home. Visit the homes of your new friends. You know, make opportunities to get together. Some people aren't comfortable with going to your home right away, obviously. But, you know, make opportunities to meet outside, meet somewhere else. And again, make friends who are not Seventh-day Adventist. Yeah, it's a challenge. And, you know, just for the intention of soul winning, but also because you care about them as a person. Okay, talked about light breaking forth. You know, the last rays of merciful light, the last message of mercy to be given to the world is a revelation of his character of love. The children of God are to manifest his glory. In their own life and character, they are to reveal what the grace of God has done for them. The light of the Son of Righteousness is to shine forth in good works, in words of truth and deeds of holiness. Christ's Object Lessons 4:15, 4:16. So, just like Uncle Joe, it wasn't until he saw the revealing of love through people that he learned about the love of God, that he saw an actual representation of the love of God. And I pray that each one of us would be Christ's hands and feet, that we would prayerfully ask God for wisdom to know how to reach people, but he would also give us divine appointments, and we would seize those opportunities to develop friendships, real friendships, like you care about that person, friendships, and to meet the people's needs and to share Jesus Christ with them. I know that Uncle Joe will be there when Jesus comes back again. And I pray that each one of us, when Jesus comes again, we will see the people, our friends, like our friends. We'll be going to heaven with our friends, with our family, with our loved ones. And I hope we'll all be there together. I guess we have a little bit of time. I just want to close off with prayer, and then we can get some questions and answers. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you really break down the gospel to us, Lord, that it is your love that compels us. Lord, I pray that we would be rooted and grounded in Christ, and that you would use us to be your hands and feet, Lord, to just share your love in practical, real, tangible ways to those around us. Lord, that you would help us to make friends, real friends for Christ. Lord, that we would be able to see and meet the needs of our new friends, Lord, and that we would point them to Jesus. Father, I pray that a special blessing for each person here, Lord, and also everyone at this conference. Lord, I pray that your love would move us, that you would use us to share your three angels' messages, that you would use us to do genuine medical missionary work, Lord, to win souls for Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
This message was recorded in partnership with Audioverse at the GYC conference Break Forth in Phoenix, Arizona. GYC, a supporting ministry of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, seeks to challenge and inspire young people to take sacrificial initiative for Christ and to see Jesus finish the work in this generation. For other resources like this, visit us online at gycweb.org.